Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Harmony Project was started back in 2001 as a neighborhood intervention that provided music instruction and instruments in underserved and high-poverty neighborhoods in Los Angeles, California. But the project has always had higher aims than simply giving young people a chance to learn and play music. Founded by my guest today, Dr. Margaret Martin, a public health professional, Harmony Project was designed to provide a positive development of children through the study, practice, and performance of music, which would then carry over to the classroom and beyond. From a modest start of 36 kids, Harmony Project in LA now serves over 3,000 children there. And thanks to a rigorous research focus, there is now empirical data that demonstrates that music study has a positive impact on brain development and educational performance that carries through positive impact on brain development and educational performance that carries through high school. Over the past decade, a goal has been to replicate this success in other cities. In fact, Tulsa's Harmony Project was among the first outside of Southern California and is now celebrating its fifth anniversary this month. Centered at the Kendall Whittier Elementary, Harmony Project Tulsa serves around 100 children with a commensurate growth in learning proficiency. Harmony Project founder Dr. Margaret Martin is my guest today to talk about the Harmony Project mission and how they're trying to expand it around the country. Dr. Margaret Martin, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Rich.
In a couple of years, the Harmony Project in Los Angeles will be celebrating 20 years of existence. What has been the impact on the neighborhoods and communities you've been serving in Los Angeles?
Oh, man, it's been fantastic. I started in 2001 with 36 kids. Today we've got more than 3,500 kids throughout the highest crime gang reduction zones in Los Angeles. Our students spend 4 to 10 hours a week practicing making music with each other instead of getting into trouble. And well over 90% graduate from high school on time and go on to colleges and universities. We've had two Fulbright scholars, a Gates scholar. Our first doctor graduated in 2015, and it's just blown our mind. You know, we were so excited that our students are 100% low income, 97% non-white, and 100% terrific. We were excited because they were going to college. The last couple letters of recommendation that I've written have been for grad school. Our students are earning professional degrees. 30 to 50% are entering science, technology, engineering, and math majors and thriving. And more than 80% this year of our graduating class are first-generation college students.
Yeah, that's amazing. So take us back to the beginning. What was the impetus for starting a Harmony Project back in 2001? I hear it was a visit to a farmer's market that was sort of
That's right. So about 22 years ago, I'm at a farmer's market on a Sunday morning, a produce market. And through the market comes this tattooed bunch of Hispanic gang members. If you live in Los Angeles, you know that young men don't get out looking like that, wearing gang regalia, unless they're gang members. So they were walking through the shaved heads, walking through the market, and they stopped. They stopped in their tracks in front of a small child playing Brahms on a tiny violin. And after 6 or 7 minutes, without saying a word to one another, I watched those gang members pull out their own money and lay it gently in that child's case. I was at UCLA at the time completing a doctorate in public health focused on what it takes to make a healthy community, and those gang kids were teaching me that they'd rather be doing what that child was doing than what they were doing, but they never had the chance. The thing is, that child was my 5.5-year-old youngest son. And I went from high alert, I'm tall, I'm 22 years younger than I am now, I was wearing sneakers, I would have decked anybody to mess with my kid. And I went from high alert to just melting down. I knew that those gang kids and anyone connected to them was never likely to have the opportunity that my little boy had to learn to make music well. And at the same moment, I knew as completely that that was just wrong. The opportunity to learn to make music should not be something that is reserved for the children of wealthy families. It should be available to any child. And I launched Harmony Project in 2001 with 36 kids and one $9,000 check from Rotary Club of Hollywood. I didn't know any rich people, and the money ran out in about a minute. I begged the teachers to teach for free, which they did for about 6 months till I could build up a board and raise more funds. If it hadn't worked, Rich, I would clearly be doing something else. But 8 years out of the gate, I'm at the White House receiving the highest honor in the nation for an arts-based youth program from Michelle Obama. And 2 years later, I was invited back to receive the Presidential Citizens Medal from her husband. Who even knows that that exists?
Right.
I didn't. In 2016, 40 of our string students performed on stage with Beyonce, Bruno Mars, and Coldplay, and Gustavo Dudamel at the Super Bowl 50 halftime show for an audience of about 120 million people. And in 2017, the International Academic Pediatric Association gave me one of their highest honors, the George Armstrong Lectureship Award, and invited me to present at their annual convening in San Francisco. That organization focuses on research that improves the lives and well-being of children.
So take me back to 2000, 2001. You're trying to get this thing going. What was the idea? You know, a lot of people will make comparisons to El Sistema in Venezuela, which has transformed a whole country as far as a generation of outstanding musicians and people who have elevated the arts because of that. Was that a model, or did you just find your own path?
I didn't know anything about El Sistema when I launched Harmony Project. I'm a doctor of public health.
Yeah.
So what I did was I launched an evidence-based public health intervention.
Through music.
The idea was, back then, the idea was simply to keep kids with great needs and few resources safe in school and out of trouble.
So very much like after-school sports programs or things
Yeah, except that, you know, the organizing principle for sports, which we need sports. I love sports. I have kids that were very active in sports. But the organizing principle for sports is contention. The organizing principle for Harmony Project is harmony. You know, unfortunately, I wish that El Sistema in Venezuela could have impacted the political system there, because that country is in a world of hurt right now.
Right, absolutely.
But no, I didn't know anything about El Sistema when I launched Harmony Project, but, you know, researched it when I did learn about it. The Harmony Project from the beginning was a public health intervention.
It was about creating successful human beings, not necessarily musicians.
Right. Successful human beings. And the idea, I dug into the research literature and found a wonderful study out of the RAND Corporation, Arts and Pro-Social Impact Study. That became our blueprint from the beginning. It calls for liberal use of mentors. As our students advance, we train them to mentor their less advanced peers. And in fact, Harmony Project is not a music program. It's a mentoring program that uses music as a means of engaging, challenging, and mentoring kids throughout childhood.
Now, you said you got your first $9,000 grant from the Rotary Club of Hollywood.
Yes.
What was the initial reaction when you went to backers to say, look, I have this idea for this mentoring program that uses music? Was there a lot of resistance to it? Because, you know, as you well know, there's been a whole generation of thought that music, arts in the classroom is sort of an elective, not necessarily an important part of an education, and it certainly be a devaluation of arts education within a lot of schools, from perhaps outside of the school thinking that STEM is far more important. We don't have time to waste on arts.
We don't have time to waste on STEAM.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly, right. So did you have any initial resistance to the idea, or?
Well, we were very fortunate. In the beginning, we found, we built a board, identified several funders that really got the notion and got behind us. So we've had a lot of support in Los Angeles. The budget for Harmony Project in L.A. County is about $4 million this year. And we've got a hardworking board that really does a good job of getting that raised. The funds come in three ways: through cost-sharing partnerships with school districts and community organizations like the Los Angeles Philharmonic, from foundations and from individual donors. But increasingly, our programs have been fully paid for by school districts because they've begun to see the impact on the students. And
was that a process to get them to understand and see this as something that enhances what happens in the public school classroom? Or, I mean, I could see turf wars developing at the beginning where they would say, well, we have a music program. Why are you doing this?
Well, Los Angeles County has, like any big urban area, we have areas where the schools are doing well and we have areas where they're not. We launched Harmony Project in the city of Long Beach, California in 2014 as part of the city's violence prevention plan through the advocacy of the then chief of police. So it was a part of the city's initiative. The chief selected two neighborhoods based on their elevated levels of crime, including juvenile crime, and the school district, launched the program in four elementary schools in each of two neighborhoods. Now, I did a whole lot, if you could only imagine, of presentations, school board, city council, community leaders, and so forth. But there was one grouchy school board member, and God bless him. He said, I don't want to throw money away if this doesn't make any, it doesn't make a difference. I don't want to throw money away. I want to see metrics. I want to see metrics. So because of that one school board member, the Long Beach Unified School District tagged Harmony Kids in their data management system. And after 3 years, they ran their own numbers. Okay, so let me describe the population of the schools we went into. They started with second and third graders the first year, and each year after that, they added a cohort of second graders. So they just grew the program up, and they had committed to sticking with Harmony Project as an after-school program. And in Long Beach, it's 4 hours a week. Here in Tulsa, it's 6 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And we've had a Harmony Project program here led by a brilliant woman, Kathy Radd, for more than 5 years now. So they stuck with the program. And when they ran their own numbers, they couldn't believe what they saw. The kids in these schools are 93% of them qualifying for free and reduced lunch due to low family income. And they were 50% English language learners. So these are lowest performing schools with minimally educated parents. When they ran their own numbers, they saw a 61% increase in the percentage of kids with at and above grade level achievement in reading and a 54% increase in at and above grade level achievement in math in just 3 years from starting. Self-management was out the roof. The odds that the increase in the improvement in students' behavior was due to chance was less than 1 in 1,000. Chronic absenteeism was 5 times greater in non-Harmony kids, and disciplinary incidents were 10 times greater in non-Harmony kids. The school district saw their own data. They doubled the number of schools at which they're offering Harmony Project at their own expense.
Wow. Now, when you said when they looked at the statistic, were they looking, they were comparing the Harmony kids to the
to non-Harmony kids in the same schools.
Okay. One of the things I would think that may happen is the behavior of the Harmony kids sort of has a sort of a peer relationship.
It rubs off. Yeah, it does. It's a key to safer campuses. Mm-hmm. And given what we know now about the impact, well, I haven't had a chance to really speak about the research that we did and to understand the impact that intensive music training has on kids' brains.
Yeah, just let me just say I want to talk about that research. I want to first let people know I'm talking to Margaret Martin, the founder of Harmony Project in L.A., and she's now the director of the National Project, which is dedicated to expanding this all around the country. And, of course, Tulsa was one of the first communities outside of Southern California, certainly the successful chapters that have beyond Southern California that the Harmony Project expanded to. And they'll be celebrating it their 5th anniversary with a concert tonight at the Lorton Performance Center. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, research has always informed the work of Harmony Project. You're a doctor of education. You set this out not as a music project, but a way to eliminate disparities in classroom performance and academic and personal achievement in these communities. Tell us a little about the research that you've been doing with Harmony Project.
Well, so here's the thing. We launched Harmony Project with kids from minimally educated parents in Los Angeles in 2001. And imagine our surprise when these kids, the idea was to keep them safe in school and out of trouble and help them graduate high school. Well, they graduated high school. They started attending fine colleges, Dartmouth, Tulane, NYU, USC, Cornell, Stanford. What was going on? And they're majoring in things like genetics and civil engineering and medical engineering, pre-med. It knocked our socks off. There was nothing in the social science literature to explain what I was seeing.
Now, there's some social science research which looks at just how immigrants often work, and it's about that child sort of containing the aspirants of recently arrived families that are working in blue-collar industries or you know, laborers. And that child sort of has the aspirations of the family, and a lot of times that ends up with them going a lot further than the family before.
Well, if they receive the kind of support that they need.
Yeah, right.
But in 2017, the U.S. Department of Education reported that only 35% of American fourth graders were proficient readers. That means only 35% of American fourth graders could read well enough to learn their other subjects by reading.
Which is the year that really begins.
That really begins in third grade. You're supposed to be learning to read through first and second grade. You're supposed to be reading to learn from third grade on. So that fourth grade metric, if you're not reading to learn, the kids that can read well enough to learn their other subjects, they're scooting along. But those that can't, they're still trying to, most of them never catch up. 4 times greater chance that they will not graduate from high school on time. And those that do graduate tend to graduate 3 to 5 years behind their more advantaged peers in terms of what they've actually learned. I'm on the board right now of the Los Angeles City College Foundation. Community college kids throughout the country show up, more than 90% of them, not prepared to do college level work. We're in the remediation business big time. So imagine our surprise that Harmony kids from the most challenged neighborhoods in Los Angeles were taking off. Kids with multi-generation gang, members of multi-generation gang families, and they're going off to college. What is happening? So I bothered a lot of people. Eventually, I spoke with the head of child health and human development at the National Institutes of Health, and Dr. Peggy McArdle there introduced me to Nina Krause, who runs the Auditory Neuroscience Lab at Northwestern University. So the first thing that we learned from Dr. Krause is that growing up in a low income in an impoverished environment can negatively impact a child's developing brain in biologically measurable ways that can impede the capacity of that child to learn. But it's not just low income families. There are other things that can challenge kids. Birth trauma, a high stress environment, or genetic issues that lead to things that are implicated in ADHD, dyslexia, Asperger's, autism syndrome. But all of those things affect a child's brain and nervous system. And what we learned from Dr. Krause is that music training can improve cognitive function, can improve brain function. But before Dr. Krause got involved with Harmony Project, all the research that had come out that linked, oh, music helps your brain, lots of people have heard that. But all of that research was done with affluent people who always had access to private lessons. So it didn't generalize to the low-income population groups that we were really focused on and that I'm focused on as a public health professional. So Dr. Krause sent a team of neuroscientists, of brain scientists, to Los Angeles, and we recruited 80-plus second graders from our wait list. And we have had this huge wait list, hundreds of kids on our waiting list, and it's about a 2 to 4 year wait to get a chance to enroll in Harmony Project, because we're providing 4 to 10 hours a week of tuition-free lessons, classes, group and private classes, instruments to kids, and ensemble rehearsals year-round for their entire childhood.
Right.
So that's, we're investing, you know,
a good deal of money in every kid that
in every
gets
child.
In. Yeah.
Exactly. So we recruited these kids, and every kid that agreed to participate in the research and whose parents agreed was guaranteed a slot in the program. they went through, the neuroscientists put them through 5 hours of neurologic assessments, assessing all kinds of things about their brain function, and then randomly assigned them to participants and waitlisted controls. They came back and they reassessed multiple years. Thereafter, they published about a dozen articles documenting significant improvement in brain function of the Harmony Project kids compared to the ones who had not been enrolled. Significantly improved precision with which kids' brains are capturing sound. Significantly improved focus. The metric that they use is hearing in noise, which requires you to focus your attention, which the kids were way better able to do who had been studying music. And significantly, reading at grade level by third grade, which was one of the outcomes of this biologic randomized controlled study, was literacy. And that's a problem all over the country. We've been trying to close the literacy gap and the achievement gap for more than 50 years since LBJ's War on Poverty and Head Start, and we haven't done it. But we're doing it systematically within Harmony Project with a population of kids that has greater needs and fewer resources than any others.
My guest today is Dr. Margaret Martin, the founder of the Harmony Project in Los Angeles. She's now director of the National Project, which is expanding this project to communities all around the country. One of the first cities to expand was Tulsa. They'll be celebrating their fifth anniversary this week, and she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, you've come through this body of research, and you've see how it affects like elementary school ages.
Yes.
One of the big parts of Harmony Project is it continues all the way through seniors in high school. You graduate them from high school. If you can eliminate the disparities in late elementary school, do you still see those disparities disappear in secondary school, in junior high and senior high school when, you know, you have puberty, adolescence, and all these other issues?
All those other issues, all the distractions.
Yeah.
So how to keep the kids engaged and playing music, making music with each other? A beautiful testament to human nature is the fact that the single thing that keeps kids going in Harmony Project beyond anything else is the fact that we train them to mentor their less advanced peers. A very compelling story. This spring, our students come in for exit interviews when they're graduate. So we got to meet 63 graduating seniors. And one young man had a lot of trouble in middle school. The reason he had trouble was he comes from a very close family, and he had older cousins that he adores, that he has always been very close with. But they were big deal gang members. So when he got into middle school, they started taking him around, and he starts running with these gang kids who are doing criminal things. But he's also in Harmony Project. So he's doing both these. He's got his foot in two worlds. But the thing that made the difference for him was he got approached to be trained as a peer mentor. He said the minute he got the idea that he was going to be a role model for somebody else, he knew he had to distance himself from his cousins. It wasn't enough for himself. And you see this a lot in the world. You'll have a dad, a guy will be a smoker until his wife gets pregnant. And then for the baby, he'll quit smoking, but not for himself. So we often are willing to do things for others that we aren't willing to do for ourselves. But that young man drew a line, and he distanced himself from his cousins, and now he's going off to college. So it's the peer mentoring that keeps the kids going. And it's also that they've developed by then a family. They call it their second family, their sanctuary, or their refuge. They've got a bunch of people who know them, with whom they belong, with whom they make music. And since our kids come from families that don't have money, they also start gigging. They put together their own little ensembles, and they start playing parties, casual gigs, and making money.
Yeah, that's important. So now a big thing of the Harmony Project is expanding this nationally. And I know you're in a number of cities, I think 7 or 8 or 9, and I think there's new projects popping up every day. What is the ultimate goal? Is to have this in any city where there is, you know, these areas where neighborhoods and schools where you're seeing hugely low performance. What's the ultimate goal?
Here's the thing. What we realized is that when you look at the fact that 2 out of 3 American fourth graders cannot read well enough to learn their other subjects by reading, you're looking at invisible brain-based barriers to learning. And it's not just low income. It's also birth trauma. It's also genetic issues. Anything that causes a child to struggle, the chances are that has a neurologic basis. And Harmony Project improves brain function for any student. Practicing music, practicing making music, and please, it's not listening to music that does it. Nobody ever got fit watching spectator sports. It's making music that is significantly changing kids' brains in ways that improve their ability to listen, to focus, to recall, and to learn. But it also changes their brains in ways that improve their ability to control their own behavior. And that's really important because you need to be able to be measured and to not fly off the handle. Frankly, members of Congress could use Harmony Project because our kids are far better than they are at listening to one another and to working with one another through the hard work that is required to learn to make music well.
Well, we wish you great success with expanding Harmony Project. As you come into the Tulsa Project, it's serving one elementary school right now. Where do you see the Harmony Project in Tulsa in
a couple
tomorrow
years? I'm meeting with the executive team for Tulsa Public Schools. A couple of weeks ago, I had an opportunity to brief Deborah Gist, the superintendent of schools, and I understand she walked 90 miles with her teachers to get them the kind of pay that they need and deserve. But I'm meeting with her executive team, and I'm going to lay out the neuroscience research to show how adopting music-based mentoring can get them over the hump with struggling students. And hopefully we can get them to migrate some of their remediation dollars away from interventions that do not have the impact that that Harmony Project has.
All right. Well, we wish you success in your work. Dr. Martin, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Rich.
Dr. Margaret Martin is the founder of the Harmony Project in Los Angeles and a director of the National Affiliates Project. She'll help Harmony Project Tulsa celebrate their 5th anniversary with a concert tonight. Reception gets underway at 6 o'clock and the concert gets underway at 7 at the Lorton Performance Center at the University of Tulsa. You can learn more at harmonyprojecttulsa.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.